From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston.
Time to mow the lawn, Roger. You've got a couple lawnmowers that don't have an engine, but today, what do you say we use some horsepower?
That's a clip from the TV show This Old House, where landscaper Roger Cook shows viewers how to cut their lush green grass. But maybe cutting the grass hasn't been much of a problem for many of you this summer. Thanks to record-breaking heat and a drought, your lawn is probably looking a little brown and dry. But you know what? That may not be a bad thing. In fact, it may be an opportunity. As WBUR's Barbara Moran tells us, there's a growing movement to rethink the traditional American lawn and its outsized toll on the environment. And the fix, she says, might be easier than you think. Hey, Barb, thanks so much for coming through.
Hello, Daryl. Happy to be here to talk about my latest obsession with lawns.
You know what? I am very eager and excited to hear about this because before now, I thought it was cool to have a yard of green plush grass, but apparently that's not so cool. So what exactly is the problem with lawns?
Yes, not cool, Daryl. So a lot of people have, you know, if you have a little lawn that's just sitting there and you're not doing much with it, you know, that's not horrible, but it is kind of a waste of space, in my opinion. But around here in New England or in the Northeast, it's not necessarily that bad. I mean, it's kind of matches the native environment, kind of, right? I think what is bad about lawns is, even if you don't take very good care of your lawn, you still got to mow it, right? Just like in the intro there. So that takes gas and oil and, you know, creates pollution. And then, right, I think the real problem comes with these perfect lawns, these huge lawns you see out in the burbs that look like this green carpet, right? And most of the lawns like that, you know, they're not turf from New England. They're from, you know, imported from some other country. And in order to get that look, that sort of lush putting green look, you really have to pour on water and fertilizer and usually pesticides as well, right? So, I mean, that costs a lot of money. It's, you know, gross to pour poisons all over your lawn. And it just, you know, it uses a lot of resources, right? So let me give you a couple numbers. I mean, these are really shocking to me. Okay. Gas-powered lawn mowers produce 11 times the pollution as a new car. Americans
11 times?
11 times.
11 times?
Right. I mean, that's a ton of gas, right? Americans use about 59 million pounds of pesticides on their lawns each year. And about 9 billion gallons of water every day.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Now, I wonder with the pesticides, how does that compare to farming, that number?
In some cases, it's more than farms. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but the thing is, farmers use pesticides and fertilizer really efficiently, right? So they use only a tiny bit that you need to use, right? Where people with lawns, they just pour the stuff on, right? They don't read the instructions. You get like one of those carts and you fill it full of pesticide and fertilizer and just like throw it all over the lawn, right? So that's the other.
Yeah, you're not trained to use it. You're not thinking of it like a professional. You're thinking of it as, I just want green grass.
Yeah, yeah. And because people overuse these pesticides and fertilizers, when we have a huge rainstorm, then it ends up washing all off into water systems.
It sucks up resources, whether it's money, whether it's gasoline, whether it's fertilizer, whether it's pesticides, and it's all in service of an aesthetic that does not support local ecosystems.
So that was Uli Lorimer, the director of horticulture at the Native Plant Trust, and I spent a couple hours driving around with him looking at lawns. And he also pointed out that when there's a big rainstorm, all those extra chemicals wash into local waterways, and that causes toxic algae blooms and other problems.
It goes into stormwater drains, it gets into local waterways. So there is real environmental harm that comes from the average, stereotypical suburban house.
And I also recall from your reporting that lawns cover millions of acres in the United States.
Yeah. So, Daryl, this is the thing that is such an eye-opener, right? Like, once you start looking around, you're like, my God, there's lawn everywhere. It's not just people's front lawns, but it's like this strip outside Target, right? And it's a huge amount of the United States. It's like 40 million acres, which is about the same land area as wheat, right? So that estimate came from NASA from 2012. And everyone I spoke to said the amount of lawn has almost certainly increased since then.
The scale of it is just mind-boggling, all right? So lawns themselves are likely put all together the size of Pennsylvania.
Just imagining like all of Pennsylvania being one lawn.
Yes, just being one giant lawn, just flat and mowed. And it, you know, if it takes you 10 hours to drive across it, imagine how long it would take you just to mow one strip.
That is humongous.
It is
Pennsylvania
humongous.
Pennsylvania is not a little state. Oh, man. All right. So stepping back, you know, kind of like I mentioned a little earlier, it's kind of hard to picture, you know, a suburban home without a lawn, right? How did they become so prevalent?
Yeah, this is so interesting. So the whole idea of a lawn emerged in Europe a couple hundred years ago, and it was basically a way for really rich people to show how rich they were, right? Mm-hmm. Like basically they could devote all this space to not really growing anything useful like food, and they could have enough servants to go take care of this lawn, and then they could go play lawn games on it, right? So
that's so disrespectful. Jeez.
Really, right? So then it before World War II, most people didn't really have lawns in America. And then after World War II, when the suburbs started growing, it became kind of a thing. Like it first really emerged in Levittown, which was this big suburb in Long Island, and suburbs like it where each house had a little lawn with it. And it was really this mimicking of these grand European manners, right? But it just, it doesn't really make any sense, you know? Like, it's just a piece of grass sitting there that you have to take care of.
Yes.
Doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. There's people starving. You can easily put this land to use, but you just want to have it to show off.
Right. Right. And that seems to me, I don't know, that's kind of un-American, right? Why do we have to do this European thing, right? Why can't we use lawns for the greater good in some way?
Sounds very American to me, actually. So how can people change their lawns to be more environmentally friendly?
Okay. So first, I'm not a lawn hater, you know, and if you have a lawn and you use it, you have kids run around playing soccer, or, you know, Daryl, if you want to have a lawn and sit out there under your tree, that's just fine. That's totally fine. But the great thing about having a more eco-friendly lawn is that it's less expensive and less work. So you get to be cheap and lazy if you want to do this. Okay. So here's a couple tips for people. One, you could just set your mower blade up as high as it can go so you don't cut the grass super short. If you mow every other week instead of every week, that helps bees and other insects thrive better. If you leave the lawn clippings, so leave the lawn clippings instead of raking them up, especially if there's clover, if you just leave it around, that helps fertilize the lawn so you don't have to use fertilizer. And in general, you could just stop using fertilizer and pesticides and accept that your lawn is not a perfect green carpet, right? It's a little, you know, a little more fun looking. I mean, it's got some dandelion and clover and it's a little, got some dry spots, and maybe that's okay. And this is okay. This is not less work. This is more work, but you could also get one of those push mowers and not use all that oil and gas and get a workout at the same time.
All right. And you actually spoke with someone who ripped up their lawn. How did it look? Paint a picture for us.
Yeah. So I met this woman named Erica Tharp. She's a yoga teacher who lives in Framingham. She moved into her house about 4 years ago, and she wanted a yard that was less work, and also less harm to the environment. So she had the whole thing ripped out, and she replaced it with this long, wavy grass called a fescue, which is, you don't mow it. It's called a no-mow grass. And you don't really have to water it very much. And along the edge, she has all of these wildflowers like black-eyed Susan and butterfly weed and goldenrod and all of these beautiful colored flowers that are good for pollinators and also native to New England.
My lawn is much more wild than I think the average lawn is, just because you have the wild flowers growing. So yeah, it's not neat and tidy right now, not at all, but neat and tidy isn't always good for us, right?
She also told me, which is funny, that she was worried about what the neighbors would think, but the only comment she's gotten is from women across the street who really enjoy looking at her lawn. So it's all been positive. And I also talked to this other woman named Rassi Cardosa, who is a nurse in Dorchester, and she had sort of a similar revelation a few years ago, just looking at her lawn and said, I'm done with this lawn.
Oh, cutting the grass and just watering it and I wasn't getting anything out of it. I felt like it was just a big waste of time. Like, what am I getting out of grass? Nothing.
I hear that.
Yeah, seriously, right? So she went out and planted food, right? She wanted her lawn to do something for her, right? So she put up a bunch of garden beds, pear trees, this blueberry bush, and she gets a ton of food out of it, out of this pretty small yard. And it really looks great.
Now, would you say alternative lawns like this are becoming trendy in New England?
Yes and no, right. So in the southwest of the country, like California, Arizona, there's been this drought, right, for years. And so it's way more top of mind out there. But it's been slow to catch on here, but it's definitely starting to change. I did speak with a couple landscapers. This one guy, Andrew Whitaker, who owns a company called Green Abundance by Design. He did Erica Tharp's lawn, the woman from Framingham. And he started the business in 2016 and has seen his sales increase 50 to 100% each year. And he told me when he started, he had to kind of explain to people what he was doing and what an eco lawn was. And people kind of looked at him funny. But now he has a lot more people coming to him, he says. And so I think it's definitely starting to percolate in people's minds. And I think the more lawns that you see that aren't the traditional putting green thing, then I think it will catch on more and more.
Got it. So the lawn movement is slowly catching on across America, particularly in New England.
It is. Yeah, it's coming. Good. It's coming, Daryl. Doing the story, reporting on the story has been a real eye-opener. And I look at lawns a lot differently now. And it's a waste of resources and a waste of time. And I just think, I don't know, it could be doing a lot more for us and a lot more for the animals that we live with. And, you know, I think it just, I think people are starting to think about lawns differently. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely rethinking that myself, for sure. Barb, thank you so much for coming through. This was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Thank you, Daryl.
That's WBUR environmental correspondent Barbara Moran. And that's all for today. Today's episode was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design by Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you want to feel more connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.